Are you or a loved one looking for a long-term care opportunity that ensures dignified, fulfilling living in a safe environment staffed by caring and skilled professionals? Greenhouse Living for Sheridan is currently welcoming elders to the cottages located at 2311 Shirley Cove. Set up a visit to learn what sets Greenhouse Living for Sheridan apart, including private rooms, on-site activities, and a sense of community supported by the entire team at Sheridan Memorial Hospital. See SheridanGreenhouse.org today for additional information or to set up an appointment with our care team.
Let's talk about tires. Think about the snowy, icy roads ahead, and now think about your current worn tires. How safe does that make you feel? Well, lucky for you, Midas Tire and Auto has big savings on tires this month. Buy three tires and get one half off, plus additional rebates up to $200 on select Cooper and Toyo tires. You'll also get peace of mind knowing your tires are back with the Midas Lifetime Guarantee. Getting and keeping you safely on the road. Midas Tire and Auto in Sheridan.
This public service announcement brought to you by Atlas Chiropractic. Your healing begins when you pick up the phone.
This is Bracken Mueller from the 5th H 4-H Club. National 4-H Week is here. Sheridan County 4-H offers experiences in science, agriculture, citizenship, and more. Encourage the young people in your life to get involved. Discover opportunities at the Sheridan County Extension Office today or call 307-674-2980 for more information.
This is Public Pulse, your information and conversation program, brought to you by First Federal Bank and Trust. You can voice your opinion by calling 672-KROE. That's 672-5763. Now, your host for Public Pulse, Floyd Whiting.
Thursday, October 9th, from Wyoming's Emerald City, I'm Floyd Whiting, and this is Public Pulse. Domestic Violence Awareness Month is a national campaign observed every October to raise awareness about domestic violence, to uplift the voices of the survivors, and to unite communities to work together to end relationship violence. Introduced by the National Coalition Against Domestic Violence in 1981, Domestic Violence Awareness Month was officially designated by Congress in 1989. Here in Wyoming, 34% of women and nearly 31% of men experience intimate partner violence, sexual violence, or stalking at some point in their lives. With us this morning is the Sheridan Advocacy and Resource Center Assistant Director, Rhonda Weber. Good morning. Welcome back.
Morning. Thank you for having me.
How you been?
I've been good. We've been good. We were just talking about, I'm not a fan of cold, but
it's creeping in.
We're getting through it.
We're just starting. I often ask myself, why did I move here if I don't like snow?
I know.
You know, but born and raised in Wyoming, and I can't stand it.
But like snow. We were saying, the snow was better when we were younger.
Yes. Absolutely. Now, what was fun now becomes a massive inconvenience for
massive
6 months out of the year.
Chore, work,
Rhonda, you've been with the Advocacy and Resource Center for 18 years.
Yeah, 18 years.
What first brought you there? And on top of that, what's kept you committed for almost two decades?
Yes, I love that question. So really simply what brought me there was I was in school at the time. The director at the time, Charlotte Jenkins, was one of my professors. She heard me on a phone before I went into class on a phone call, scheduling an interview to go work. I don't even remember where it was. Because at that time I was going to school, I was slowly starting to go to school to be a substance abuse counselor. That's kind of where I thought my passion lied. And so she heard me on the phone for a job interview and she came out and she goes, you're not going there. You come work for me this summer. And I went, oh, that sounds great. You know? And then I quickly realized once I was in that work and really submerged in it, this is really the problems that I'm seeing, you know, out in the community that I really wanted to address. And it fully became my passion really quickly. And I can't imagine doing anything else. The thing that keeps me there is, first of all, our team, Yvonne, our director, and I, we've been together 18 years.
Yeah.
So her and I, we've seen it. Yeah. We've been through it. And then, so it's a combination of trying to honor, I think, all of the people that did the work before us. They did all the hard work. They helped create all the laws. They put centers like ours on the map. They built the relationships with law enforcement that wasn't always great. So I really, really try and go to work every day to honor that, what they built. And then secondly, even though the work is doom and gloom a lot of the time, there's a lot of success. There's a lot of really great things that happen. And I love really just connecting with people. I think that that's becoming more important than ever. And I don't know, people, you know, everybody just has their own story that they're walking and telling and living. And I've always tried to live this non-judgmental, really supportive lifestyle, and my work allows me to do that, and I get paid for it. And then our team, like I said, Yvonne, of course, and then those, our team members are my family. I spend 7-8 hours a day with them. We go through it together, really upsetting things. And so I'm just bonded with them, and I don't ever want to leave them.
And it's, you know, that sense of crisis, that sense of almost doom and gloom.
Mm-hmm.
You got to lean on each other.
Oh, for sure.
You got to bring each other up. And so that creates that bond together, you know?
Yeah.
You're in the foxhole together.
For sure. And I always do say I am really lucky too that I get to live the life that I hope for other people to live. You know, I have a really great home to go to. I have a wonderful partner, a really supportive family. And so I have a really good balance that allows me to do this work for a long time. The average lifespan of somebody in this work is usually 2 to 4 years.
Yeah.
They burn out after that. And we do experience burnout. We're just able to get through it somehow. And for me personally, the thing that helps me the most is my home life balance.
Yeah.
And so that's what can really keep me going.
Yeah, because 18 years. Mm-hmm. I mean, you and Yvonne, obviously really leaning on each other.
Yeah, for sure.
But you've got to get away from it.
Yeah, yeah. And I mean, I wish we could get away more. But sometimes she has to make me take vacation. I have to make her take vacation. But I don't know. It's just something you, even when we're not at work, Yvonne and I are working 24 hours a day. So we love talking about this. This is a passion. You know, we definitely sometimes fall into the category of we're living to work because it is such a passion of ours. But lately, you know, in the last several years, we're able to find that balance and really help each other. But yeah, it's been lots and lots of ups and downs. We've seen lots of different kinds of things happen, lots of different laws change, trends change, different kinds, I mean, tons of turnover within our partnerships that we work with at law enforcement or county attorneys or judges even. And so it's really cool to just kind of keep going and train the new staff that we have, which have also been there, most of them. You know, Brittany's been there over 5 years. Wow. Rachel's been there 3 or 4, I think. And so that's now my goal. Since I don't see as many clients myself, my goal is to make sure that they can do this forever too.
Empower them.
Yeah, I love that part. Yeah. And they're so, it's so easy with them. They're amazing. They're incredible. So
how old were, I mean, we look at where you were going, addiction services, and then we look at where you ended up at an advocacy center.
Yeah.
How old were you? Or was there a moment or an aha event where you were like, I want to help people?
Sure. Yeah. So my father, he was definitely abusive. Thankfully, I didn't experience any of that firsthand. My mom, who I think of every day, she experienced that, and she was the one that fought to get away. And so at a time, though, when I was growing up with her, you know, I didn't label it that. She did such an incredible, amazing job to make sure that we weren't impacted by that at all. And so then later when I'm working there, that summer, I was like, okay, well, yeah, this happens, you know? Yeah. And so, that was definitely an aha moment where it's like, this should never, ever, ever happen. I'm thankful. I'm okay. My mom is okay. I mean, of course there's lots of trauma and stuff that that you can work through. But that's what I wanted for other people. And so that was the aha for me. Just immediately once I was in that work was like, oh, okay, this is, I never identified it. I never labeled it. You know, she did such a good job of shielding it. Well, and it wasn't life because I didn't, you know, it wasn't, I had an amazing, great childhood with my mom. And so she made sure of that. So it was, I just didn't know. I didn't label it. And I think that's common for a lot of the youth that we talk to. When we explain it in plain terms, they're like, oh, well, that happens. And it's like, yeah, so let's talk about that.
So it's almost like the ripples. You see the ripples, but you don't see the rock actually going into the water.
Yeah, for sure.
And as you get
that's
older,
exactly right.
You suddenly start to realize, wait, those ripples came from somewhere.
Yeah, for sure. That's exactly right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Now, for those who don't know the topic, how do you describe the Sheridan Advocacy and Resource Center and what you do over there?
Yep. So Sheridan, the Advocacy and Resource Center is the local nonprofit here in Sheridan County. We serve all of Sheridan County that assists victims of violent crime. So we always talk about how we have two parts to our program. We are the program that, just like you can find in any county, that victims and survivors can walk into and get support. But we also serve as Sheridan County's victim witness program. So what that means is we are also the court navigators. We help people who are listed as the reported victims of crime in a police report navigate the criminal justice system and know and understand the rights that are afforded to them by the Wyoming Victim Bill of Rights.
It's a lot of people automatically associate with just domestic violence,
yeah,
but it's so much more.
A lot of people associate us with just domestic violence and just women. And so that's not true at all. Even though we still serve, our largest percentage of people that we see are domestic violence survivors and victims, we serve males and females, and then we serve all violent crime victims. So everything from, I always describe it when I go to speak in presentations at the schools, any intentional crime done by a person to another person to cause them fear, harm, injury, or death, we can serve them or their surviving family members.
I guess I'll get to that in a little bit. We're going to move on to the month itself.
Okay.
It's Domestic Violence Awareness Month, and the theme, with survivors always.
Mm-hmm.
What does that message mean to you personally and professionally?
Yeah. Personally, you know, I think I hit on that a little bit. Like, it's just these people that are in your community that deserve respect and support. Most of the time when people are coming through our office, they haven't told anybody what's been going on with them. We're the first people that they talk to. It's really important how we respond to that so that they can continue on their journey, whatever that looks like for them. So they are met with respect and compassion and, most importantly, belief. And so I think that's what this message is trying to convey nationally as well, is what would society look like if we just believed them and we were just with them, whatever their journey looked like, instead of trying to map their journey for them, tell them what they need to do, place new pressures on them. What would it look like if we just believed them or we were just with them, however they need? And so I think that's what this message is trying to convey this year, with them. Survivors get met with a lot of victim blaming, a lot of negativity, and that's normal. That's never, I think, going to change. But what would it look like if they were met with support?
Yeah,
you know, what would it look like if, you know, your friend came to tell you something was going on with their partner, and they were met with, instead of, you know, you should do this, you should do that, you need to do that, this is what I would have done, they were met with, you know, thank you for telling me, what can I do for you? You know, is there somebody I can call for you? Have you thought about reporting, you know, instead of you should do this, you know, things like that. What would that look like if you just shifted it a little bit, just a little bit?
That's really interesting.
Yeah.
I don't want to get on too much of a side tangent,
yeah,
but the language that you're using, I've t- taken conflict and mediation classes. I've taken interpersonal communications classes. And in the course of that, I've spoken about an individual that I read about. She had a theory called Gendralix. Dr. Deborah Tannen speaks about how we communicate 99% of the time the exact same, male, female.
Okay.
But that 1% really throws a wrench into the entire machine. Whereas two males sitting with each other will say, you know what I would have done, Jeff? You know what I'd do if I were you? That's very natural language for us. And it's almost like a male, and this is according to her theory, it's the male way of offering that assistance, that help. And so when those conversations take place between a male and a female in the traditional gender roles, it's not lost, but it's misunderstood.
Yeah, that is super interesting. I think that, you know, it's in our nature to want to correct things or make things better, especially when we see somebody hurting. And in a crisis center, you know, trying to remember, we don't always have to be fast. And so instead of really swiftly coming in and like, let's fix, let's meet these people where they're at, get to know and understand these people, these humans, and really listen to what they have summoned the courage to finally come in and talk about. At the core, there's something going on. There's something that we can address, but sometimes the urgency, we don't have to go there so fast. And if we trust the process, if we really spend time with these humans and talk to them, then I think a lot of solutions come from that, you know, and it's led and directed by them. I get the bonus part of just, how can I help? How can I boost this for you? This is your plan. This is your journey. These are ideas and options that you get to have and ownership in what's going to happen. Let me just boost it. Let me do the fun part, you know, really, truly. And so, they do the work,
and it's an empowerment.
Yeah, I hope so. Yeah,
for them.
Yeah.
And I'm not, you know, bashing on the way that males talk to each other or anything like that. That's not what I'm trying to say here. But through the years, and multiple relationships, by the way, ultimately kind of forming me into a better listener. I think it is the language. It's, you know, the way that you were saying, look, we're going to do what you want to do. And why don't we go ahead and just wait until you're ready to move? I think the language used is empowering.
Yeah.
As opposed to, you know, I got to respond.
I got to respond and I got to do something swift and fast and fix this. And, you know, there are occasions where that's super helpful. And, you know, I don't think that, you know, how males communicate or anything, you know, what you're saying, you know, that's common. That's pretty normal. And in certain environments, it's pretty helpful. It's good to be that way. And I think that the other thing that really, you know, this is a whole other thing to think about too, is how often people are in unhealthy relationships that we all know somebody. If we haven't experienced it ourselves, we all know somebody at least. And so I think, you know, a lot of the times when we have males who want to do that quick response, it's because they've known someone that has that. And so they want to, you know, this is what worked for that person. This is what I think could work. And so there's, you know, generally I'm lucky. I haven't experienced any harm from that yet. You know, I'm surrounded by helpers. And so I think it's generally they want to be helpful. But, you know, if you send a survivor or a victim to the wrong communicator, it can
go sideways.
It can go sideways. And so, you know, over the years and decades, law enforcement, for example, I think they have started to take seriously how they communicate with victims and survivors. And we're really lucky in Sheridan, both the deputy and the PD side, to have some officers that are really good at understanding the dynamics of domestic violence and how to communicate with them. And in the long run, they have a pretty black white job to do. You know, did a crime occur? And, you know, that's what they can focus on. But when you have those officers that can really have that type of understanding of the dynamic of domestic violence, have that conversation, have that communication, you know, 30 seconds of their time, it can make a difference.
And it can really start a ball.
For sure. Rolling. Yeah.
On that, I do have to take a quick commercial break. We're going to have more with our Sheridan Advocacy and Resource Center Assistant Director, Rhonda Weber, right after this. You're listening to Public Pulse on 930 KROE at 103.9 FM. Sheridan.
Since 1935, First Federal Bank and Trust has been a cornerstone of Sheridan.
And to celebrate 90 years of community commitment, we're donating $90,000 to 10 nonprofit organizations in Sheridan. Each month through November, we'll honor our legacy of community support by investing in a local nonprofit.
This month, First Federal will award $9,000 to the Hub on Smith.
90 years, $90,000. Community commitment at its finest. Visit efirstfederal.bank, member FDIC.
Hi, I'm Lisa Hansen with MC2 Realty, inviting you to take a look at this beautifully maintained four-bedroom, two-bath home featuring AC, a newer roof, and hot water heater. The inviting kitchen offers an island, abundant storage, and a walk-in pantry. A convenient main-level laundry allows for easy single-level living. Ideally situated at 1430 Omar near Mavrakis Pond and the walking path. List price is just $385. To take a look at this property, contact me, Lisa Hansen, at 307-763-3964.
This is Tim Kerr, General Manager at Frackleton's. Downtown is about to taste like autumn. Our new fall menu is coming soon, crafted with the rich, hearty flavors of the season. And while you wait, you don't have to. Our new cocktail menu is already here, with fresh creations and bold twists waiting to be poured. Come in, unwind, and taste what Wyoming autumn feels like. Only at Frackleton's, where every season tastes like a celebration. Frackleton's, Main Street, downtown Sheridan.
Dare to lift that hood yourself. Many have tried and vanished. Mahaha. This Halloween, don't let your ride turn into a nightmare. Bring it to Handel's Service Center, where our mechanics have the tools and talent to raise the dead. Batteries, that is. Keep your 4x4 and side-by-side alive and well. All year long, wahaha, at Handel's on Sheridan's Heartland Drive.
Hi, it's Good Luck Chuck Bagara here, VIP in the Carroll's Furniture First Northern Bank Pro Football Pick'em. Want to hear what happened this week on the Crow Morning Show? Have a listen.
Dame's 54. Mm-hmm. That's impressive, though.
Again, been in this position before. All it takes is a couple weeks and you're sliding.
Don't let Bob mess with your mojo, brother.
I know. It's not, I'll be honest with you. It's not Bob. It's always Melody. Or Melanie. I'm like, she's coming. I got to be ready for that.
She is going to come. Everybody knows it. It's just like, that scary feeling from behind, you know, it's coming.
You can feel some.
Like, yeah. The end of your hair standing up. Yeah.
Then pretty soon it's a slap on the back of the head and she passes you.
Yeah, that's right.
Hey, it's Magic Melanie with First Northern Bank. Play along with us this week for a chance to win $100 in Anheuser-Busch merch from Bighorn Beverage. Click on the Pro Football Pick'em banner on the contest page on SheridanMedia.com and tune in every Wednesday morning to KROE 103.9 FM at 7:40 to hear our picks and all the banter.
Good morning. Welcome back to Public Pulse. I'm your host, Floyd Whiting. My guest this morning is the Sheridan Advocacy and Resource Center Assistant Director, Rhonda Weber. Now, Rhonda, if you've noticed, I get sidetracked and about 20% of my questions we end up not talking.
I love that. That's why I actually enjoy that. So
signed a great conversation, right? Between January and August of this year, your team has served 342 individuals, and 198 of them were primary or secondary victims of domestic violence. What do those numbers tell you about the scope of need here in Sheridan County?
So first, let me explain the primary and secondary. So 198 of those are primary or secondary. So primary means the victimization occurred directly to them. And then the secondary is somebody we served in our office who either witnessed or is impacted by that violence. So that's like the children.
The kids.
Yeah. And so we include kids if we serve them in our office or shelter them or provide any type of financial assistance. Like I said earlier, our percentages, even though we serve all violent crime victims tend to stay higher for domestic violence victims. I think that's because we are the only place for that service, you know, that domestic violence service. But as long as I've been there, the numbers really haven't changed. And so, you know, I used to at the beginning be like, I'm going to fix this. I'm going to solve this, be out of a job. Not to sound not hopeful. I do think lots of strides have happened and will continue to happen. But unless major, major cultural shifts happen, legislative shifts happen, we're still going to have domestic violence victims. We're still going to have that power and control dynamic within our nation. And so it's not changing. The numbers are pretty consistent in Sheridan. You know, we never have any significant drops. We never have any significant growth. The only thing we know is it's been steady. And what's impactful now for those domestic violence victims that we serve is, you know, 18 years ago when I started, we could find them housing. We could, we could find them an apartment. We could afford to get them in an apartment with, you know, helping them financially with rent, maybe the deposit as well. Now in Sheridan County, that's significantly changed. Yeah. The housing is a huge barrier. It's limiting. But the numbers aren't changing. These people are still coming to us. And so the work for us has changed a little bit. And the barriers for them have grown significantly.
That's horrible.
Yeah.
To think that, and what I just don't understand. I mean, this has been 20 years. So you've seen a couple generations.
Yeah. Oh, for sure.
Of individuals.
For sure.
And you still do.
Mm-hmm.
There's no age limit on this type of thing.
No.
Unfortunately. And so how can all this effort and all these individuals, you, the police, other organizations throughout the entire nation work so hard? And I've seen it myself work so hard and watch that number.
Yeah.
Just stay there.
Stay there. What, I mean,
for what causes that?
I know. It's, you know, when we talk about domestic violence, you know, we talk about that power and control dynamic because at its core, that's what it is. It's individuals who wish to keep power and control over another individual. And they do that in any way they can. And the thing that's really difficult about it is what they used yesterday to keep power and control might not be what they use today to keep power and control. It's constantly changing. And so, for example, now in Sheridan County, a really good way for abusers to keep power and control over their victims is financially, you know, where are you going to go? There's nowhere you can go. And so that's where that cycle can kind of be stuck. Because where are they going to go?
And a huge percentage of these individuals have kids.
Oh, for
and
sure.
And whether they be male or female, they're not going to want to leave the kids
in
the house with the abuser.
Yeah. And, you know, we have process, you know, even though a lot of the work we do is pretty gray, you know, law enforcement, like I was saying, can be black and white. A lot of the work we do is really gray. And so it's a lot of problem solving, a lot of safety planning, and figure out, you know, this own individual's strengths and resources and what can we do to get this safety rolling. It might not be today, but removing that urgency, we have the ability to do it today if we need to. But what's going to give this some longevity here to be successful?
A lot of times you have to build a life completely anew out of this. And that takes resources. It takes time. Takes education.
Education, yeah.
Because in a lot of different situations that I've seen in my own life, it's an individual, when it all started, had promise. This was going to be it. This is going to be a great life.
Mm-hmm.
And so they invest everything they have within a relationship only to 10 years, maybe even 15 years down the line, realize I got to get out with the kids.
Sure, of course. I mean, you know, when you go in, all of us, you know, hopeful, love, go all in. And you know, then when it's time to go, how does that look? What does that look like? You know, we're combating that now when we go and speak with the youth in schools is, a lot of them, the school does a really good job talking about this, talking about abuse. It's in the curriculum starting in eighth grade. But the questions we get from kids is like, how do I break up with someone? How do I end a friendship? What does that look like? And so, you know, that's been shifting in the schools too, where they're talking about conflict resolution and communication. Mm. So it's really cool to see that kind of stuff. And again, the whole theme, I think nothing's swift, nothing's happening record fast, but we just need little changes. Yeah.
You know, and in the lives of teenagers, everything
is swift.
It's swift and fast.
And so right now and yep. urgent and I know we've talked about that before with our kids and that everything is so important right now. And
high school is the most important moment.
My
of
friends
your life.
Are my most important thing. And you know what? Like that's part of what we do is, you know, train and teach. And Compass does a really good job teaching parents and families how to lean into that, you know, honor those feelings as well.
Oh, great. Yeah.
You know? Yeah.
Yeah.
And so you know, how can we honor that, lean into that a little bit, and then do bigger picture things at the same time?
Before I got remarried, I did this single dad thing for mm-hmm. a while.
Yeah.
And that's what I tried to do. Think back to when I was 15 mm-hmm. years old. What were the priorities
yeah.
in my life? Because they're going to be the same for her.
Mm-hmm.
Try to give advice from that perspective.
From that perspective.
And it's so hard.
Yeah.
Because you hear us old people say it all the time, you know, whereas when I was your age,
yes.
I thought I knew
yeah.
everything.
Yeah.
And I never wanted to, you know, demean
mm-hmm.
their lives right now.
Sure.
And so I never wanted to say that. But boy, howdy, the mm-hmm. older I get, you know,
yeah.
I'm like, yeah, I really did think I knew everything and I knew nothing.
Yeah.
And it can be really difficult to sit down and have conversations, especially about hard topics
yes.
like this mm-hmm. with kids. And we did have those conversations, but situations still rise.
Yeah.
No matter what you do.
Well, and we're forced to have those hard conversations now. I think like, you know, back to before my time with the center, things were still very much under the rug, so to say. Things were hushed, quiet, but now we're kind of forced to live out loud. We're forced to be out in the open. And so you're either having those conversations with your children or your family members or your friends or whatever, or not, but it's out there. And
they're getting
it. And so it's such an easy trap, I think, with youth to fall into. I've caught myself saying, I promise you, once you graduate, none of this will matter. Literally the day after.
Yeah.
But that doesn't mean anything to them because it means something to them now. And so it matters to them now. And so really shifting and being like, okay, what? Let's lean into this now. And
those conversations, you know, those relationships that they have,
mm-hmm.
You know, of course, the most important thing to them at the moment. But yeah, mm-hmm. when you said that, that's exactly what I thought when it came to my mm-hmm. kid is I yeah. said, you know, you're set to go to college.
Yeah.
Your first day at college is going to be more important than your yeah. last 4 years.
Yeah. And you know, they're not big picture people yet. And so really trying to, you know, this is one little hopefully snippet of your big long life, and how much more greatness do you have? How much more sadness is there going to be? How much more difficult challenges there are going to, you know, it's going to be all. The most important thing is I think now people are talking more and communicating yeah. more, and
they have an articulation to it.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of people want to, and I might upset some folks, but they're very anti-woke, right?
Yeah.
To me, from what I've seen,
mm-hmm.
the woke community mm-hmm. really just has a different language.
Yeah.
They can categorize exactly what's going on.
Yeah,
I understand, you know, there's a diagnosis for that. There's a word for that. There's this is the... We're not reinventing the wheel at being a human being.
Mm-hmm.
This has been
mm-hmm.
done.
Yeah.
And they have a better understanding of that as we go forward. And so you hear these languages,
mm-hmm.
you hear this talk, you understand that they have a broader, I guess you could say, idea of mm-hmm. a lot of this different stuff.
Yeah.
How do you formulate a curriculum to go into these mm-hmm. schools, look at these kids and try to talk to them on that level plane?
Yeah.
Without sounding like me, like a dad going, boy, I knew everything when I was your age.
Yeah, we don't want to sound like parents. And I mean, and to your point, like woke we don't want to sound woke. Woke means different. Woke is different to everybody, right? Yeah. It has a different meaning to everybody. But we know for sure that having conversations with youth and talking to them and meeting them where they are is not woke. And so we just, it's just communicating.
It's just
and so
communicate.
When we go into the schools, we really try, you know, first of all, we're talking to the faculty, the health teachers that are so great that bring us in. What are you seeing? What's been going on? Because they're there, they're every day, they're seeing what's going on. And then we do still try and match the curriculum, which is typically in eighth grade, it is healthy relationships, conflict resolution, setting boundaries. Perfect. That's great for us. And so we get to go in and we do teach them about what an unhealthy relationship can be, from physical, you know, emotional, controlling, verbal, sexual, through technology. You know, we get to teach them about that, but then we also get to teach them about the what if. So there's no agenda. There's no language that really has to change with that conversation, because it's education. It's factual. This is what an unhealthy relationship looks like. This is what we know to be a healthy relationship. What do you want in a friendship? In a relationship, because you can achieve that. Like, if you start talking about it now, you know, so many of them are like, I really want, and this is where I do get a little momish in the presentation sometimes, because they're like, I really want somebody who's honest. Great. I love that for you. What does honest mean to you? Because this is now just a generic term that we throw around, because I could have somebody sit in my office tomorrow and say, you know, well, my abuser told me that I'm never going to amount to anything. I'm the only person that they're going to love. And they're just being honest. Is that the kind of honest you want? And the students are like, no. And I'm like, really? Okay, good. Start thinking about what that really means to you.
Yeah.
Really do some critical thinking around that, because this is the type of friends you want to surround yourself, the partners you want to surround yourself. It's not good enough anymore to be like, well, I want somebody honest, or I want somebody respectful. What does that mean to you now? We get to define that. So we do a lot of that in the class. And then we do a lot of boundary setting, you know, how it's okay to set boundaries and give them some time and practice space to practice it. Because it's scary as a 13, 16-year-old to say, you know, I'm not okay with that kind of joke, or you know, that makes me uncomfortable, and just kind of giving them that permission to do that. How great. We're not talking about starting fights. We're not talking about being negative or anything like that, but just what kind of people do you want to surround yourself with?
You're not getting in anyone's face. You're just saying, look, me, I'd prefer not to hear this garbage.
Yeah. And it's just all, so how can we teach these students to, you know, have an understanding about what they want to be surrounded with and the kind of people that they want to be around, and how can we support that?
So difficult to try and teach any kind of implementation of emotional intelligence when your emotions are being controlled by chemicals in your brain, you know, that are just going off the rails sometimes.
I know. Yeah.
It's really tough. I used to sit her down about every other week and just say, I need to know what's going on in your life.
Yeah.
And, you know, as she's gotten older, she's in her 20s now. We sit on a deck and visit, and she's like, well, I didn't tell you about this.
Yeah.
And I didn't tell you about that.
Sure.
And you start learning. I wasn't living in her house. I was just able to see through the window. You know, no matter how hard you try,
No matter how hard you try. And then, you know, a lot of the times as a parent, I have to remind myself that an answer is an answer. And so if my teens are telling me, you know, I'm good right now, okay, then that's the answer
now. You almost have to just leave it alone.
Yeah. Yeah. A lot of the time. And I have to craft the way I ask as well, because if you ask a kid, we all know, if you're a parent, how was school? Good.
Yep.
Are you okay? Yep. Is anything wrong? Nope. Okay. That's what you're going to get. And so we parents have so much to do anyway, but we do have to think about how we're crafting those questions, how we're having those conversations. And so that's really, you know, our overall hope with starting we go into all the eighth grade students in school district 2, and we just want to have conversations. How do you have a conversation? If honesty is important to you, how would you communicate that to a friend that's not being honest? You know, just really having these conversations, and that it's okay. These are your, it's okay to have these conversations. It's okay if you and a friend don't vibe anymore. How do we talk about that? And so
life at that age is very difficult. Mm-hmm. I do have to take a quick commercial break. We're going to have more with Sheridan Advocacy and Resource Center Assistant Director Rhonda Weber right after this. You're listening to Public Pulse on 930 KROE, 103.9 FM, Sheridan.
Since 1935, First Federal Bank and Trust has been a cornerstone of Sheridan.
And to celebrate 90 years of community commitment, we're donating $90,000 to 10 nonprofit organizations in Sheridan. Each month through November, we'll honor our legacy of community support by investing in a local nonprofit.
This month, First Federal will award $9,000 to the Hub on Smith.
90 years, $90,000. Community commitment at its finest. Visit efirstfederal.bank, member FDIC.
Have you started having those conversations with others or began thinking to yourself what a new home may look like to you? Hi, this is Colton Bates with the Bates Team at Best, and we want to help you bridge the real estate gap between where you are and where you want to be. Even speaking with an agent can oftentimes feel overwhelming because this is generally the number one financial decision in a person's life. We've helped our clients through a wide variety of situations, and you will always have a thoughtful plan that considers your needs and timeline. Choose a real estate team that will take action on your behalf and deliver. Choose the best. Give us a call at 675-BEST and visit bestwi.net today.
Legends say the opal holds lightning trapped within its heart, a stone of mystery, once feared but long cherished for its beauty and magic, especially for those with October birthdays. This October, celebrate your own legend with glowing fire opals or shimmering white opals in timeless designs crafted to enchant. Dare to wear the magic of opal from Legacy Diamond and Gems, 11 North Main and online at legacydiamondgems.com, where every piece tells a story.
Face it, you don't want to do your own plumbing and heating work or repair. You need a professional, and that is exactly what you will get if you work with Rapp Plumbing and Heating. Being fully licensed, bonded, and insured, you can rest assured that they will take care of your repairs and maintenance in the very best way possible. Call Rapp Plumbing and Heating at 429-1196 and rest easy knowing it'll be done right. This is Dan Rapp with Rapp Plumbing and Heating. And as we like to say, if you find a leak, let me take a peek.
This is the captain at Captain Clean. Do you have a giant mess you need cleaned up? Did you just build a house or building and can't tackle the amount of unforeseen sheetrock dust? Call our team at Captain Clean and let our experts take over. From post-construction cleanups to sewer backups, there is rarely a mess too big for us to tackle. Call Captain Clean today, 672-0726. Affordable choices for healthy living.
We clean more for you.
Wyoming winters don't ask for permission. They just show up with snow, ice, and wind that finds every weak spot in your roof. Brandon 307 Roofing and Exteriors knows Wyoming weather, and we will make sure your home is ready before the worst of it arrives. With metal roofs, impact-resistant shingles, built to withstand Wyoming weather. Plus, we work with your insurance company to take the hassle out of your hands. Your home is protected when it matters most. Call us today for your free inspection, or visit Brandon307.com. Brandon 307, Branding Wyoming, one home at a time.
Good morning. Welcome back to Public Pulse, proudly brought to you by our friends out there at First Federal Bank and Trust. I'm Floyd Whiting. This morning, we're having important conversations with Sheridan Advocacy and Resource Center Assistant Director Rhonda Weber. And we're talking about Domestic Violence Awareness Month. We're talking about the different aspects of domestic violence, the education programs, and the efforts made by the Sheridan Advocacy and Resource Center to try and combat this, I guess you can say, ever-present tidal wave.
Yeah. Epidemic.
Yeah. You're standing in the ocean, and it's just wave after wave after wave. I'm glad we have people like you, Yvonne, and your team up
there. Thank you.
That are willing to just bear the brunt.
It's my pleasure. It truly is. Yeah.
Now, when we look at, you know, the idea of the theme, which is I want to return to.
Okay.
We are here all the time and we believe.
Yeah.
Love that. First off, what does that commitment look like for your clients, for the community during days like after hours,
yeah,
weekends, holidays.
Yeah. So one of the services we offer is a 24-hour crisis line that's staffed by us and our volunteers. So there are domestic violence call centers that are nationwide. That's great. A lot of those are losing funding, but locally we have our 24-hour crisis line. So we like to promote that in a way that you're going to get real people in your community who know the resources available, and it's for crisis. Like we are here, we act, we're not on a call center database or anything like that. We can meet you, you know? The other thing is, you know, I often, when I'm training staff, which is my passion now, there's not very many places in Sheridan that you can go and spend 5 hours professionally,
yeah,
for free. And it is very common in our day-to-day work when a new person comes in that we're sitting down with them for hours to talk to them. That's the expectation I have for our staff, and that's what survivors need. And so that's, you know, we are there. You know, law enforcement, like I said, they have a role that they play. Did a crime occur? Here's what we do. County attorney's office has a role. We charge this crime. Even if they report to the emergency room doctors have a role. They address it. They clear. We are there from the beginning to the end. Sometimes, you know, some case adjudication takes 18 months. So we are there from the beginning to the end. There's not very many places in Sheridan that you can expect that kind of service. And that's what we expect. And that's what survivors need. That's, yeah, what they deserve. We don't want them to come in and feel like they're, you know, filling out a form, being passed from this person to this person, to this person. And back on the crisis line too, you know, I've had to relocate individuals. And so I'll call that community's crisis line, whether in this state or in other states, and it's unanswered. I mean, there's just no funding, there's no staff, there's no people. And so we make it our priority to always be available.
'Cause you know what it's like.
Yeah. Yeah, for sure.
When you call that number, no one's picking up.
Yeah, exactly. So, that's kind of our commitment, you know, those behind the scenes commitment. We do tend to try and do as much as we can during office hours because that's when other resources are open. But violence doesn't occur 9 to 5. And so, you know, we are available to go to crime scenes if law enforcement or the victim requests. We can meet individuals at the hospital after hours who've been assaulted. And then, of course, if crisis is or shelter is needed, we can meet them at our office and organize that. And so, yeah, it's, when I said before, it's a 24-hour, 7-day-a-week gig. It is.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And every advocate who walks through that door,
mm-hmm,
seeking a job understands it.
Yeah. They, with me as their trainer, they understand that. So it's really funny. Yvonne and I always talk about our interview process. We do a lot of the talking because I want you to really, truly know what it is you are applying for.
Yeah.
Everybody wants to help somebody, love that, but we're a different kind of help here. And so you're going to be on a crisis line. You're this need. I know you want to help people, but sometimes it's going to be really hard. And mm-hmm, sometimes even the people we help, it's going to be really hard to want to help. And so, you know, because we get stuck in the jadedness of it's jading sometimes. And so, you know, how are you going to keep going? And truly, if they have that passion to meet these individuals where they are 100% of the time, offer them support and know that they deserve better, then we got a good staff.
Rhonda, I'm running out of time with you.
Okay.
I feel like we could have gone another 3 hours.
I can.
It's amazing.
Anybody who knows me knows I could do this all day, every day.
For those individuals who would like to get more involved, for individuals who would maybe even like to make a donation,
mm-hmm,
of any sort, or learn more about how they can help, what should they do?
Yeah, so for that, I do think we have a stellar website. It's www.arcsheridan.org. They can find out about our services on there. They can find out about our volunteer opportunities on there. And they can also find out about donations, whether it's material items or monetary donations. I invite people to come visit with me. talk about what we do, see our building. It's a very special place. Everybody who comes in our door says, this is not what I expected. I feel great in here. This feels like home. But we are going to start pushing the crisis line volunteers. We really need some crisis line volunteers. We offer the training. It's no more, you know, long gone are the days where you sit at a phone. You're free to have your phone. You know, it's just looks different, but we desperately need them.
Okay.
Yeah.
Those committed individuals who are willing to sit there.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
Who are willing to listen.
And I know they're out there, so come find me.
Rhonda, thank you so much for taking time out of your busy schedule to come in here and visit with me for this entire show.
Oh, thank you so much for giving us the show. I really appreciated it.
Absolutely. Absolutely. All right. You've been listening to Public Pulse on 930 KROE and 103.9 FM. Sheridan.
Since 1935, First Federal Bank and Trust has been a cornerstone of Sheridan.
And to celebrate 90 years of community commitment, we're donating $90,000 to 10 nonprofit organizations in Sheridan. Each month through November, we'll honor our legacy of community support by investing in a local nonprofit.
This month, First Federal will award $9,000 to the Hub on Smith.
90 years, $90,000. Community commitment at its finest. Visit efirstfederal.bank, member FDIC.
Hey, Doug, my car looks like a leaf pile and smells like pumpkin spice gone wrong.
That's not pumpkin spice, Bob. That's old French fries.
Can you fix that?
Absolutely. The Waring Chevrolet Detail Shop scrubs, shines, and polishes any vehicle inside and out.
Even mine?
Especially yours. We'll make it look brand new. No rake required.
Finally, my car won't double as a compost pile.
Fall in clean at the Waring Chevrolet Detail Shop. Gift certificates are perfect for holidays, or get your ride protected before winter hits.
Waring Chevrolet Detail Shop, 409 Broadway in Sheridan.
Winter weather can wreak havoc on your vehicle. Sheridan Auto Spa can help you protect your vehicle inside and out from damage and deterioration. Applying a ceramic coating from Sheridan Auto Spa creates a protective barrier against environmental elements. Interior detailing protects upholstery, leather, and vinyl from fading, cracking, and staining. Protect your investment with a detailing package from Sheridan Auto Spa. Gift certificates also available and make a great gift. Sheridan Auto Spa in Sheridan.
Let's talk about tires. Think about the snowy, icy roads ahead, and now think about your current worn tires. How safe does that make you feel? Well, lucky for you, Midas Tire and Auto has big savings on tires this month. Buy three tires, get one half off, plus consumer rebates from popular brands like Bridgestone, Cooper, and Michelin. Additional rebates up to $200 on select Cooper and Toyo tires. You'll also get peace of mind knowing your tires are back with the Midas Lifetime Guarantee. Getting and keeping you safely on the road. Midas Tire and Auto in Sheridan.
This public service announcement brought to you by Atlas Chiropractic. Your healing begins when you pick up the phone.
Behind closed doors, many in our community are living in silence, fear, and pain. Domestic violence doesn't always leave visible scars, but it always leaves a mark. This Domestic Violence Awareness Month, remember, survivors deserve to be heard, believed, and supported. The Advocacy and Resource Center is here day and night. Call our 24/7 crisis line at 307-672-3222. Hope and help are just a phone call away.
It's Thursday, and SheridanMedia.com's Fall Online Marketplace Hot Buys are open today only. One day pop-up shop featuring local retailers, gifts, gear, goodies with starting bids at half price. Bidding closes at 8 p.m. tonight. Go to SheridanMedia.com. Click on that Fall Marketplace Hot Buys banner. Every Thursday, SheridanMedia.com's Fall Online Marketplace. Shop smart, shop local, shop today.